hope you all got a lot out of this worship service so far this morning, praising God and preparing for the great day of the Lord. That's what we're doing here every week when we come together, edifying one another, praising Him, and just preparing for the day that God will take us to heaven, if you're a Christian, and take us to heaven so we may live in eternity with Him. We read a few different passages this morning, and each of those was meant to help us prepare for the coming of the Lord. They show us the futility of the actions of the world, and they show us how that we can prepare ourselves for spiritual warfare in the heavenly places. We'll read about that, and we'll see how we can prepare ourselves to be in heaven and to go to heaven with God. The first reading we had was in the book of Joel. That was in Joel chapter 1. Let me read it again for you. It says, "Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty." And then in chapter 2 it says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God." See, in the book of Joel, the people were sinful. They were not serving God. God had sent plagues about this time on the people as punishment for their rebelliousness and for their sinfulness. In this passage here, Joel is calling on them to repent. Read, and then if you go back to chapter 1. And as you read there, you see a lot of modern-day parallels. Some of the things we read about sound familiar. We see these. Joel is talking in spite about these plagues that were sent on them, and he says, and things are pretty bad because of these people's sins. and he had these plagues, the people were facing destruction, and Joel was calling them to repent. Today we see some of the same things going on in the world. We see a need for repentance, we see a need for return to God. Even Christians sin. Those of us who are Christians, we sin, and we add to God's anger, and we heap that destruction again upon the world. And so we need to prepare ourselves. How many of us, when we sin, do we do what it says to do here? How many of us, when we sin, do we gird ourselves and lament? How many of us do we wail because of our sin? How many of us lie all night in sackcloth? How many of us consecrate a fast or call a sacred assembly? Even better, how many of us gather all the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into God's house and cry out to Him? Not all the inhabitants of the land, but I believe that's what we're doing here today. We're crying out to God because of the futility of the actions and the things we see in this world and the sinfulness we see there. We know that the day of the Lord will come. It says in verse 15 of chapter 1 here in Joel, it says that it will come as destruction from the Almighty. If you want to turn with me, you can turn to Hosea chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to read this passage. It's a little bit graphic, but it's kind of it's a picture of what God will be like on that day of destruction. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 13 in Hosea says, So I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard by the road I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. And this is where it gets gross. He says, I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. That's what God's going to do to those that are sinful. And so you see a need to return to Him. I don't want that to happen to me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us also that the destruction will come like a thief in the night. We don't know when it'll happen. 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 3, verse 10, it says, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So you see there that picture of the destruction of the Almighty. Sounds kind of negative. Maybe you're a little depressed. I don't know. But we give hope. We have hope here. God gives us hope. Chapter 2, verse 13 says that we can return to God. So how is it that we do that? How do we return to God? Well, he says we can do it with, we need to do it with all of our hearts. Fasting, weeping, and mourning. We read earlier, he also mentioned girding ourselves and lamenting, wailing, calling a sacred assembly. Those are all ways in which we can return to God. They're all forms of repentance for our sin. He says also to rend our hearts, not our garments. In the prayer that was given, asking for a return to God, it was mentioned that we wouldn't focus on the outward things. That's not going to do us any good to return to God outwardly. We need to rend our hearts, to change our hearts and return to Him inside. We read also today in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. Let me read that again for you as well. It says, "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. That they may successfully do evil with both hands, the prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household." Verse 7 says, "Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Again, I ask you, does this sound familiar? Do you ever say to yourself, "Woe is me"? Because it seems like all the wicked people are, like it says in verse 3, successfully doing evil with both hands. Does it ever seem like that? Do you ever feel like you're working hard, but you never get to enjoy the fruits of your labor? It talks about that in verse 1. Do you ever feel like faithful or loyal men are no longer here on the earth? Do you ever feel like there's nobody that's loyal, there's no loyalty there in the world anymore? That's what verse 2 is saying. C.S. Lewis was a writer. Many of you have probably heard of him. And I don't know if he was always a Christian. I think he became a Christian later in life. And one of the things that he lamented in his writings, he one time wrote about men without chests. And he says that today we are creating men without chests. We see that happening. Well, these are men without chests, men that aren't faithful, men that aren't loyal, men that won't stand up. Another question I want to ask is, does everybody around you seem to be searching for a way to beat you to the punch? In verse 2 it says, "They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net." Today it seems like everybody's after everybody else. You got to beat everybody else. You got to win. That's not what it's about. Well, this is the way Micah felt, and I will venture to say that many of us may feel that way today. It seems sometimes like the world gets away with sin all the time. In fact, things haven't changed much since Micah's time. Micah talks about a few different things that we can see happening today. He says that the prince asks for gifts. You hear about that kind of thing going on with our government officials. He says that the judge seeks a bribe. If a judge seeks a bribe, where is their justice? He says that you can't trust in your friend. You can't put confidence in your companions. And in verse 5, he says, "Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom." You can't even trust your own wife. Now, I'm not saying that's always the case today. Don't get me wrong. But that happens. He also says that sons and daughters dishonor their parents. And he says that a man can't even trust those in his own household. Things are pretty bad. Sometimes we see that kind of thing going on today. It's going on around us, and sometimes it might be taking place in our own lives. We might be the ones committing these sins. So like in Joel, this sounds pretty negative. Things seem pretty bad, right? But God is telling us, or we are being told by Micah here in this passage, that we are not to have our confidence in men, or in the things that men do, or in the things that go on in the world. We are to put our confidence in God. He says that we can look to the Lord. He says that we can wait for the God of salvation. And he says that we can know that God will hear us. If you want, you can turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Here's the result of looking to the Lord, waiting for God, and knowing that God will hear us. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." He's saying, what we're seeing here, we suffer, true. But we know that God will keep us until his day, until the day of the Lord, until he comes. We also read, the last passage we read was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. And we see, and so far today, we've talked about wickedness that we face within ourselves and as a people, and the wickedness that we see in the world. Ephesians chapter 6 addresses spiritual wickedness and things that are going on in the spiritual world. He talks about the wiles of the devil in verse 11. And he says in verse 12 that our struggle or our wrestlings are not against flesh and blood. He says that they're against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our battle isn't always physical. It's true, here on earth, things are very physical, but it's also spiritual. So how do you battle against spiritual wickedness? Verse 12 says that our battle, again, is not against flesh and blood, against physical things. So, of course, we wouldn't use physical armor. Instead, verses 13 through 17 show us the kind of armor we need. It's spiritual armor. He says we need a belt of truth. We need a breastplate of righteousness. We need shoes of preparation in the gospel. We need a shield of faith. We need a helmet of salvation. And we need a sword of the Spirit. We need all that armor. The funny thing is, if you take away any part of that armor, if you take away the shield or you take away the sword, just missing that one piece can be your demise. So you need all these things. You need truth. You need righteousness. You need preparation in the gospel. You need faith. You need salvation. And you need the Spirit. That's how we prepare the day of the Lord. We can't forget any of our other armor. Otherwise, we'll be killed in battle, in the spiritual battle, as we prepare for God. So this morning, we learned from Joel that if we have sin in our lives, we need to repent and return to God. We learned from Micah that if it seems sometimes like the world is winning, that we need only have faith that God is there and that God will save us. He will hear us. We learned in the book of Ephesians that we need to be ready to do battle against a great adversary, and that's Satan. Repentance, faith, and strong spiritual armor will prepare you for the day of the Lord. So I ask you, are you ready? Joel says the day of the Lord is at hand. Are you prepared? If you're not, you can be made ready if you believe in him, if you repent, like we read, of your sins, if you confess him as your Lord, and if you're buried with him through baptism, you can be prepared. You can join us in the fight against Satan, against spiritual wickedness, and against physical wickedness that we deal with here on earth. So I ask again, are you ready for the day, great day of the Lord? If you are ready, if you're not, if you're ready, great. Join us in battle. But if you're not, you can come forward and you can join us in battle and you can become ready to join us in battle for the great day of the Lord. If you're not ready and you want to do that, you can come forward and talk to me or somebody else here. Join us in that battle as we sing, "There's a Great Day Coming."
There's a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready?
Are you ready
for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready?
Are you ready
for the judgment day?
It's the closing of our service now. We'll have a We'll be led in a closing prayer, and we want to thank Adam for all the, Tyler for all the work that he put into this lesson today, and this is the first time most of us heard him speak, and he did a really good job.